a consulting job that I had where we were seeing people that were making outrageous claims, which were physically impossible.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Put the Lotion in the Basket. I'm Anna.
And I'm Patrick.
We are on Zoom today. We're recording this virtually. If it sounds a little different, we just had trouble with coordinating schedules, mostly my fault, but we're here. That's all that matters.
Yes, it's all that matters. And I must say, your Wi-Fi connection is crystal clear today.
Excellent. Yes, we've had technical difficulties with virtual tapings in the past, but I think that's just a thing of the past.
Yeah, I think that was teething problems, and we've ironed those out. And yeah, this is it's like you're in the room.
Amazing. Well, our headline news this week is that a couple of days ago, I spoke with someone else over Zoom, a much anticipated guest. And I'm going to share some of that conversation with you, Patrick. We're going to go through it in chunks and talk about it bit by bit. I'm really excited for this.
I'm so excited. Can we tell the listeners who it is?
Yeah, I think let's have the guest introduce himself.
I'm Michael Perung. I'm a professor of chemistry at the University of California, Riverside, and a professor of pharmaceutical sciences at the University of California, Irvine.
Michael Perung, Dr. Michael Perung, a real bona fide chemist. And listeners might remember his name. We have talked about him because he recently did some very interesting research on, do you remember what it was?
Hyaluronic acid.
Hyaluronic acid. Yes.
How could I forget?
So he and his colleagues put out a study about this often repeated claim, which I've heard many times, that the reason hyaluronic acid makes such a great moisturizer is that it can hold 1,000 times its weight in water. Have you heard this?
I've heard it, and I put it in the too good to be true bucket.
Well, you're correct. And that's exactly what I talked to Dr. Perung about. But, before we got into the nitty-gritty of his experiments with hyaluronic acid, I started more broad because I actually realized before I started this conversation, I don't even think I could give you an accurate definition of what a chemical is off the top of my head. Could you?
Something you put in a moisturizer.
Yeah, I mean, that is one definition. So a chemical, I did look up the definition later. It is any substance with a defined composition. So in other words, it's any substance that's always just made up of the same stuff that has a consistent composition, and it can be natural, it can be synthetic. The reason I bring this up is because I feel like in the world we inhabit of skincare and cosmetic products, chemical has a certain connotation, right? Like, what do you think of when you think of chemicals?
Well, you think of not good things. You think, oh no, I want chemical free. Well, some people do. I actually don't. But yeah, chemicals get a bad rap in the world of skincare.
Yeah, exactly. Chemical sounds fake and it sounds like it might be bad for your health. So that was the first thing that I actually wanted to ask Dr. Perung about, is that idea. So that's where we started the conversation. And he said, in fact, it's not accurate at all to think of chemical as a synonym for fake or bad.
It's hard to find something that isn't a chemical in the world. And there are plenty of things that we put in our bodies all the time that are synthetic chemicals. Aspirin is a synthetic chemical these days. It was originally developed from the bark of a willow tree. And, all that was known was it was an analgesic, it would control fevers and stuff like that. But eventually we figured out how it worked. And now it's something that everybody happily ingests. The caffeine in our coffee is a chemical too. And all the good things in the coffee that I had today that taste so great are chemicals too. The fact is you cannot avoid this stuff. I mean, H2O, good old H2O, it's a chemical.
I mean,
Yeah, I've just never heard it talked about in that way.
Right? Water is a chemical. I've never thought of that fact, and I love talking to scientists. This episode, we're going to school. So I just hope you're ready for that.
Okay, yeah, I'm ready.
Yeah. So H2O, water, is a chemical. Also, a super important ingredient is in cosmetic products. So this is how we're getting to the nitty-gritty of why we're here having this conversation. So hyaluronic acid, super famous, esteemed ingredient in many skincare products. We've heard this claim that it's a great moisturizer because it holds 1,000 times its weight in water. Apparently, that's not true. I asked Dr. Parang what prompted him to even look into this in the first place, and whether it was just simply because he saw this claim being made and thought, well, gee, that doesn't sound right.
It was, and a consulting job that I had where we were seeing people that were making outrageous claims, which were physically impossible. You know, it's rare that I have an opportunity to push back against the misinformation that exists out there. I mean, a lot of the driving of that misinformation is based on advertising. So yes, I became aware of these rather outrageous claims. A very well-known leading cosmetic company named after its founder. The founder is out there on the internet all over the place in YouTube videos and so forth, making these outrageous claims that, for example, that cosmetics that have hyaluronic acid in them will bind 1,000 times its weight in water.
Yeah,
Okay.
now what does that even mean? This is a question I had because I've heard this claim. My face doesn't feel 1,000 times heavier when I put this cream on. So
Right.
what is this
Well,
concept?
that is exactly the point, actually. I mean, the mass of what the moisturizer you might actually put onto your skin could be maybe a tenth of a gram. But if that claim would be that hyaluronic acid on your skin attracts 100 grams of water. That's about the size of a water glass, okay? And think about all that water. How would that actually be on your skin? And actually, the most outrageous claims that I mentioned were made by this one particular cosmetics company, which by the way, it's a pretty high class one. It's a department store sort of cosmetic, not a drugstore sort of cosmetic. Okay, so there's a price connected with this, right? And so sometimes you have to sort of sell the sizzle as well as the steak. His claim was that this moisturizer attracted water from the air to your skin, which is even, you know, at 1,000 times its weight, right? Which is even more outrageous. If it were the case that it was just sort of this water magnet, and that the water would just be going to your skin and going to your skin and going to your skin. I mean, it would just become, I mean, you would become soaked, and it was very
It
unreasonable.
sounds appealing if you think about it for 3 seconds and you're just thinking of it in passing while you put on your moisturizer, but if you dwell on the idea for longer, it sounds horrifying to think about walking all over and there's just water
Water
attracted to
everywhere.
your face all
Yeah.
day long.
You want to have just enough, right? I mean, that's kind of the point.
Okay. A lot
Wow.
there, a lot to unpack.
So much to unpack. My goodness. It's like, is this industry just full of crooks?
Yeah, I think it's full of questionable claims, that's for sure.
Yeah, like you can't go around saying that a cream is going to pull water out of the air and turn you into a human wet patch just walking around dripping water everywhere. I mean, this is crazy.
And yet, I have certainly heard this claim, and somehow when I heard it in the context of marketing a moisturizer, it didn't strike me as that outrageous, right? It just sounded like, oh, what a lovely idea. It attracts moisture through the day, so you're just constantly moisturizing your face.
It's like an Evian mist without the Evian. It's just you're just misting yourself thanks to this cream. Yeah, wow. And yeah, it's the kind of thing that I'd go, sure, that sounds great.
Sounds good. But then when Dr. Perung explains it, I'm like, oh yeah, this doesn't even make any sense.
None.
Also, okay, the real tea in there are the hints that he dropped about this brand making these
Yes. Who
claims.
was he talking about?
I am afraid that he might be talking about my beloved Dr.
No.
Dennis Gross.
No. Why do you think that?
Because he said, oh, it's a department store brand. It's not a drugstore brand. He said it's named after its founder, who's a he.
Oh.
I couldn't think of that many brands that are eponymous brands that fit that profile. And then I found, so Dr. Dennis Gross, their website, they have a blog called The Source. And I found a post on The Source. Now, to be fair, the post was not written by Dennis Gross himself. I haven't seen if he's actually saying this stuff in YouTube videos. So maybe it's not him that Dr. Perung was referring to. But I found this blog on the Dr. Dennis Gross website from last April, so a little under a year ago, that says hyaluronic acid has plumping superpowers and is able to hold 1,000 times its weight in water. I'm looking at it.
No.
I know. And then it says,
Oh my goodness. So
yeah.
it is Dr. Dennis Grace that he's talking about.
Oh, it might be him. Now, it could be someone else because I've heard this claim in different places. I don't want to single out the wonderful Dr. Dennis Gross.
It could be Peter Thomas Roth because he loves a hyaluronic eye patch. Or moisturizer, you know? I wouldn't be surprised if he said it holds 10,000 times the amount of water. He's hyaluronic obsessed.
I'm gonna look this up right now.
I found it. I found a Peter Thomas Roth quote. So on this is on one of his products, Peter Thomas Roth Viz 1000 75% hyaluronic acid complex serum, $38.99 from Walmart. On the blurb, it says, achieves hydration by attracting 1,000 times its weight in water from the moisture in the air. Oh, from the moisture in the air, this is the one. We found it.
It's gotta be. We've found multiple offenders very quickly, but this could be that, Scott, right? That sounds
But
totally.
that is crazy. It achieves hydration by attracting 1,000 times its weight in water from the moisture in the air. So that is. That is what he was talking about.
Yeah, good call on Peter
How
Thomas.
can you say that? Peter Thomas, and do you know what? I love his eye patches.
They work.
Yeah, but they're not attracting. I'm not seeing huge globules of water smacking me in the face every time I leave the front door.
I mean, right? When Dr. Perung explains that, if it did that, it would be the equivalent of a glass of water on your face. And then if it continued to attract water, you'd be soaked by the end of the day. It's crazy. And, you know, I mean, he did say like that sometimes people who even who are doctors or scientists themselves, if they're not chemists, for example, like a dermatologist like Dr. Dennis Gross might pick up this fact and repeat it. You know, not he's not going to give it any critical examination, or he's not going to go into a lab himself and test it. If he reads it somewhere that seems credible, he might repeat it in his marketing because he's a dermatologist, he's not a chemist, you know. So he did make the point that sometimes these claims get repeated not out of nefariousness, but just.
No, but out of a lack of research, if these are huge global brands, and I just would have thought there would be someone, maybe not the brand owners themselves, but someone on their team that would do a bit of due diligence. Find out. I want to know who started this rumor.
That's a really good question. Okay, we're going to follow up on this and find out the origins of this
This
claim.
myth, this damaging myth about hydration and about hyaluronic acid and its powers.
Yes. Okay, that is for a follow-up. Now, I have more of this conversation to share because
Yes,
I wanted
please.
to know. Now, here's where we get real sciencey, and I love this. I love talking to scientists about the specifics of their work, but I wanted to know more details about exactly how Dr. Perung and his colleagues tested this claim how they did this experiment. And so he shared some of the details, and I think the science is really interesting. And then, as you'll hear as this cut goes on, his marketing insights are pretty interesting too.
We take hyaluronic acid, we weigh it, it's a dry powder. We add 1,000 times its weight in water. Some people would say, oh, that must be just like a gel or something like that, right? It's just going to be because hyaluronic acid will bind that much water, it'll be, something. It looks just like water. It's a free-flowing material, it's water white, it's there's nothing particularly special about it. But what will happen is that because of the dissolution of actually anything in water, it tends to inhibit the evaporation of water. And there's your moisturizing effect right there, right? I mean, whatever natural moisture you have on your skin, you tend to retain that. And you can do that. I mean, a moisturizer is one way to do it. I put on chapstick today, right? Another way is a barrier, right? I'm putting a barrier over my skin, and the water can't get through that waxy barrier that's in my chapstick
Yes,
to evaporate.
we've spoken about a trend of people putting petroleum jelly on their faces at night before going to sleep. It sounds like that's the same concept. It's a way of trapping in the moisture you already have.
Correct.
I wanted to ask you, what should we take away from this research as, say, just consumers? Because when I read some summaries of your research, I was sometimes left thinking, well, okay, so these claims about 1,000 times its weight in water seem that they've been debunked, but it does do something. It does hold multiples of its own mass in water. So
Right.
is it?
Right. So a extremely good point. As an academic, scientific purity is an important thing, right? And people who make claims that are not scientifically supportable, well, that is an opportunity for correction and education and so forth. Hyaluronic acid has many interesting properties. So, and there's many uses for it besides as an ingredient in a moisturizer, right? So different sorts of cosmetic fillers have hyaluronic acid in them. Hyaluronic acid is the natural lubricant in our joints, and it has a really interesting property. Its solutions have a really interesting property. If you move the solutions very slowly, they flow well. But if you try to move them quickly, they resist flow. And this is one of the reasons why it's such a great ingredient to be inside your knee and your elbow and stuff like that, right? So, and those characteristics don't necessarily have anything to do with the 1,000 times its weight in water. It's just that little line has been so overused in advertising. And certainly there is hardly a field of retail that has more claims about the efficacy of products with not very much backing to those claims than cosmetics, right? So things that are cosmetics, right, they don't go through FDA approval processes. And unless someone gets really out of line, they'll not face any pushback from regulatory agencies, right? If someone makes a claim for a cosmetic product that the FDA decides is a drug-like claim, then they're going to get a letter from the FDA. And I'm familiar with some of those kinds of things. There's a number of products out there that involve plant stem cells. And I've worked on stem cells myself. I've worked on human embryonic stem cells. I can assure you that stem cells, plant stem cells, or whatever, have no utility whatsoever in any cosmetic product for humans. And but it's the aura of that. Wow, it sounds like that sounds great. It sounds rejuvenating. Stem cells are, the
Absolutely.
cell
I
that
think
can
I've
become
used those
anything, right?
products.
Yeah, absolutely. So those sorts of things are just always wise to be the skeptical consumer concerning these things and think about, well, what would this do for me, really?
Wow. He knows what he's talking about.
Yeah, don't you love talking to scientists about this stuff? It's so refreshing. And yet, also, you just think, wow, it takes so much to cut through all of the marketing BS. I mean, there's so
Well,
much of it.
yeah, it does, but it takes a smart scientist to be able to convey these really complex facts in a way that someone like me can understand them. And that's what I'm most impressed about with him.
And the other interesting thing that he said was, so his experiments with hyaluronic acid, so they didn't just look at the water binding capabilities of hyaluronic acid, if that's the right terminology, I'm not sure. They also compared it to another common moisturizer ingredient, glycerin or glycerol. And he says they found that on a per weight basis, glycerol or glycerin is better at binding water than hyaluronic acid. So that's a little tip. If you're looking for a moisturizer and you want to look for specific ingredients, you might be better off looking for one with glycerin or glycerol in it over hyaluronic acid, or maybe a combination of both. But it doesn't have, there's no Eva Longoria commercial where she's spelling out glycerin. It's not as appealing
No,
sounding.
it doesn't sound as sexy as hyaluronic acid, you know? It just, and that's the thing, it's on everything now. It's even being advertised in shower creams. It's not on your skin for long enough to do anything that's gonna have any kind of effect. It just you put it on and you wash it off, but it's got hyaluronic acid in it. So
Yeah, it's just become this sexy ingredient for whatever reason. I think it has a buzz partly because it is a natural substance that's already found in your body, so it sounds better than glycerol. But, it might not be the best bang for your buck. And this actually led me to the last big question that I want to share with you from this conversation. So, unless you're going to call a highly credentialed academic like this every week and talk to people that are doing research that have no agenda, it is so difficult to cut through these marketing claims and get a real take on what you can expect from a cosmetic product. And this relates to something we talked about last week about hyaluronic acid supplements, right? So oral supplements that you take in a pill form or a gummy form in my case. So last week I talked about what I found online and took as absolutely credible scientific studies saying that hyaluronic acid supplements improve wrinkles and skin texture. I found something on the Cleveland Clinic website. I found a couple of other things that looked totally credible. We discussed it. I bought these gummies, and my plan is to report back after taking them for a few weeks. So for a week now, I've been religiously taking these hyaluronic acid gummies. But I asked Dr. Perung about this, and he had a very different take. I asked him,
Okay.
is there any benefit to taking a hyaluronic acid supplement? Here's what he said.
This is a kind of a pet peeve for me. It's really, really important to recognize that anything you take that you ingest, it's going into your GI tract. Okay. And the role of your GI tract is to take all of the complex things that we eat and break them down to their basic pieces. Okay. So, this is why if you're a diabetic and you need insulin shots, you give an insulin shot. Okay. You don't take an insulin pill because insulin is a protein. And as far as your digestive tract is concerned, the protein in insulin looks just like a steak. And it's going to be chopped down to the basic building blocks. These molecules are also they're repeating units strung together. We call them polymers. And so that's proteins are made of amino acids. Guess what? Hyaluronic acid, it's a polycarbohydrate, a very large carbohydrate. So it's basically two different carbohydrates, two different sugars. That's a more common name for them. And they're linked together in big long molecules. So I guarantee you, if you take a supplement of hyaluronic acid, it will be broken down into those little pieces. You could get exactly the same benefit if you just took those little carbohydrates instead of the big hyaluronic acid molecule. And here's another one that I've used myself. I had an injury in 2015, musculoskeletal injury. And one of the things that's important in building tendons and cartilage and bone is collagen. And goodness knows there's lots and lots of stuff out there concerning collagen. So the problem with collagen as a supplement is that the collagen molecule is a really complicated protein that's not only made, but then there's many modifications that are made to it in order to make it have the property of elasticity and so forth that it needs to have. So, in fact, if you eat collagen and it gets broken down back into those little basic building blocks, none of those building blocks can actually be used to make collagen. You need basic amino acids, simple amino acids to make collagen. And
And
there
that
are
comes from
two
any protein.
that so there are two there are 20 total amino acids that we use to make proteins. Some of them our body can make itself. Some of them need to be in our diet. We call those the essential amino acids. And two of those are in collagen. So one of them is lysine and another one is proline. And these are very special for giving collagen the properties that it needs to have. So when I had a musculoskeletal injury, I didn't take a collagen supplement. I took a supplement that I could get for a very small price online that is a mixture of those two special, unique amino acids that are found in collagen, lysine and proline. And just the fact that you can buy a supplement that has those two amino acids in that shows you that there's somebody who's thinking about what people actually need.
How about that?
He's just single-handedly debunked the collagen industry
Yeah.
and gummies as well.
I can throw away my hyaluronic acid gummies. So much for those.
They taste nice.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, so you could have them as a, I mean, are they low, they're low in sugar, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they have a few grams of sugar for the serving size is two gummies. So it's like, not completely negligible, but not major sugar. So, I mean, I guess they could be like a sad dessert.
Oh God.
Me just
Hyaluronic.
hope my life doesn't come to that, though.
We both need to get out more if we're having hyaluronic gummies for dessert.
Kill me.
But yeah, I mean, again, the man speaks sense and truth.
I love this. I told you in this episode we're going to school. I want to take a chemistry class from this guy. I love him. I think I love these conversations with scientists. So I guess if, and now I'm also like, okay, well, I guess if I want to build collagen, I need to take proline and glycine.
Lysine. I actually feed my cat lysine. It's good for their just their general immune system, apparently. I'm going to start taking it myself.
Didn't know that. Yeah. He said the other thing you need is vitamin C
For collagen production.
for collagen production. Yeah.
Okay, well that's good. So if you put vitamin C on your face, that can help produce more collagen. That is not a myth.
As far as I know, not a myth. Of course, now Dr. Perung has me questioning everything, and we did not get into topical vitamin C, so I didn't ask him. But as far as I know, not a myth.
We have to get this guy back. I want him to be a recurring expert for this podcast because I think he really brings something different to the table.
I agree. I think he's great, and I have a lot more questions I would love to ask him, but I didn't want to take up too much of his time this one shot. But I did ask him, remember when we discussed having him on, and I said he probably knows his periodic table backwards and forward. And you said,
Yes.
well, do chemists really retain that, or do they just forget about the periodic table as they advance? I did ask him that question of whether he knows the periodic table backwards and forwards.
Well, it's always good to have around to refer to. There's some parts that are impossible to forget when you've used it so much, but then there are other parts, I mean, there's 100 different elements there, and some of those I haven't even thought about in decades. So in chemistry classrooms, it's common that we have a periodic table, right? So people can refer to it, point stuff out, and so forth. I mean, there's hardly anything more iconic.
Nothing more iconic than a periodic table.
Oh. Wow, spoken like a true chemist.
Truly, the icon, the
And
periodic table. Nothing more iconic. I love it.
can I just say, I love his southern accent as well. He's from the south, right?
I didn't ask him where he's from. Yeah, he sounds like he could be Southern Texan, something like that, it sounds like, but I'm not sure.
He's got a bit of a drawl going on. Great find.
Well, thank you. Yes, I'm so happy that he spoke to us. And actually, I think that we're going to have a little mini streak of scientists on the show. So everybody can stay tuned. This is our scientist mini series. So more to come next week.
Yes,
I don't
definitely.
want to overpromise, but I think we have something really exciting with someone in a different discipline.
Oh, fantastic. I can't wait to I'm all ears. I'm desperate to hear just like the listeners are.
And you know, I mean, I feel like, look, if we can call up Dr. Hurung at UC Riverside and take 30 minutes of his time, surely Peter Thomas Roth or Dr. Dennis Gross could do the same and check out their own marketing claims.
Well, the invitation's there, but I will not be holding back on my questioning with either of those two. I think I should interview Dr. Dennis Gross because I do think you'll be biased.
Agree. Oh, I'm completely unqualified to interview Dr. Dennis Gross. It would be the most disgusting puff piece you've ever heard, just slobbering. It would be totally embarrassing.
I know you didn't mean what you said about water holding 1,000 times, ironic holding 1,000 times its thing. I know you were only kidding, but that Peter Thomas Roth is a
100%. I still swear by his peel pads.
I know you do. I know you do.
Love it. Next week, we will continue with more science. We're gonna blind you with science. And yeah.
You sure are. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. And as ever, if you can do nothing else today, put on SPF and also challenge anyone that says hyaluronic acid has 1,000 times water. Very good. Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.